So welcome to this session this morning. We're still in our series called Caring for One Another, 8 weeks long. We're about halfway through week five this morning. Maybe just that first question to kick off in your discussions: how are you finding this so far? Is there any sort of practical tips that you've been trying out, and how have you found that? We're kind of basically trying to do a bit of a practical course here. Yes, a bit of input from the front, drawing on scripture, but also allowing us to try it out. Anyone want to shout out, anyone brave enough to say how they're finding it so far? Any things they're trying that are new, that are helping them, or things that are difficult in relationships? Anyone want to share anything? Mark, you go first.
I think I can't get out of how are you, and then just on that superficial level, when you're just talking about actually, then it's saying how's stuff, Christian stuff, you know, because actually that's the more important conversation, but I'm struggling a bit to get past that, particularly someone I don't know so well, so that's something I'm trying to work on.
Thank you. So yeah, working on that beyond just how are you on superficial level.
I was going to say something quite similar, it's the same, how are you? I think with people I know well, I kind of almost in a bit of a joke way when people said, how are you? I said, do you actually mean that? Do you actually want to know how am I? And then actually trying to answer in the both levels, actually how am I doing based on how life's been that week and the events and circumstances, but then actually also how am I doing spiritually that week and just trying to be a bit more honest. But that's generally what we're close to, isn't it? Mm.
One little thing I have tried is how are you finding Matthew? Yeah. You know, the teaching in Matthew, that for me is a good way into that. You know, challenging you, encouraging you.
Although if you ask Caroline how are you finding Matthew, she might get confused. that's a really helpful pointer, isn't it? So drawing people to scripture. So yeah, we can talk about rugby, and that's, you know, really good fun. But also, how are you finding God's word? Is it challenging you? Are you finding it easy to agree with? Difficult, Carl?
I was just going to say, after the how are you one, bumped into you in the corridor and said how are you, didn't have a chance for either of us to answer the question. So just took the time to meet up with you in the city the following week and actually sit down and have 30 minutes an hour just to really answer that question. Brilliant. I found that really encouraging.
Yeah, good. Which kind of requires a bit of being proactive. So we covered that in week two, didn't we? Do something about it. Step forward. Reminder why we're doing this series. One of God's chosen ways to bless us is through each other. So God's plan in the church is that the care and concern of fellow Christians is done by us. And you'll see on your sheets there, Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13, which has been a bit of a kind of guiding light for us in this series, where it says that the pastor teachers and others equip the saints for the work of ministry. And it's an interesting question to ask yourself, who does ministry? And typically we answer that by saying, well, the pastor does, or the elders, or my fellowship group leader. Actually, the Bible's message is teachers, elders have a specific role, but mainly of equipping Christians to do ministry. So the job to do ministry is all our jobs. I wonder if that changes the way you think. And so what we've looked at so far, we've had, four weeks, I think, so far. Week one, I've called it our attitude, an attitude of humility. Kind of is the starting point. Pride gets in the way of relationships. God hates pride. And so we talked about kind of humility and fighting pride, both in kind of overt ways. You know, you could just be really proud, or even subtle ways. You could just not want to open up about how you're doing. So be real and asking for prayer. Asking for prayer is a good way of showing humility because it shows you're weak and needy. For some of us, that's a big challenge. Second week, we looked at our approach, being proactive, as we said a minute ago. So move towards others. I think many issues in churches would be resolved if people took the first step and reached out, either in starting relationships, even maybe mending relationships, seeking forgiveness, etc., moving towards others. And then the last 2 weeks, we spent understanding the heart, sort of the heart of the matter, and our critical influences around us. So the heart really was the focus on the fact that, yes, many circumstances around us happen, but really what's going on often is deep in our hearts. It's really a matter of the heart. Is our heart pointing towards God or away from God? And we use that Bible term, affections. You know, what are our desires pointing towards? And then last week we looked at critical influences, big things in our lives that will affect our heart and how we're feeling. Two we drew out particularly last week, our bodies, and relationships. Clearly our health, mental and physical, has a huge impact on how we are doing, and can pull on our heart one way or the other. and similarly relationships with others. When they're in harmony, it's amazing. When they're in discord, it's really difficult. So relationships and our bodies. You could add lots of other critical influences. You could add employment, children, all kinds of things, things around life. But it's good to understand how we work, both the kind of how are you, sort of what are you up to circumstances, but also how are you doing deep down in your heart. And then next week and the week after, we're going to look at sort of two slightly, you know, a bit trickier topics, suffering and sin. And as part of those, we'll also look at kind of discord in the church family. Of course, we're looking at caring for one another. A big thing that gets in the way of that is when we sin against each other, intentionally or unintentionally, how do we resolve that? And so we'll look over that over the next couple of weeks. But today, we're going to look at method. Kind of how do I do these things? Now, you may have already found, as we kind of kicked us off, you may have already found this quite practical as a session, like being humble, being proactive, asking for prayer. These are already quite practical tips, but this week we're going to look at a couple more of those tips. So before we come into some of the content this week, back into your little groups of twos or threes and discuss. Imagine someone comes to you this morning and shares something openly about something maybe quite difficult in their life. How would you respond? What would be the kind of the right way or the wrong way to respond? Or feel free to flip the question and say, well, actually, if you yourself opened up about something, how would you want the other person to respond? So thinking a bit about the how, what would be the sorts of things that would be really helpful, useful, positive versus unhelpful? So maybe 2 or 3 minutes in your groups to think about those questions, and then we'll feedback with your thoughts. So I don't know which of those two questions you kind of tackled, maybe both of them. In a church family relationship environment, you share something or someone shares something with you, what would be useful, helpful ways and not helpful ways? Anyone want to something in?
Not helpful is to make it about you. Mm. To say, oh yeah, my aunt died the other week. And yeah.
So we said about not hijacking, making about you. Sometimes it's okay to kind of very briefly empathise with the person by saying, oh, actually I've been in that situation too, or actually a friend has been in that situation, but then quickly make sure you actually get it back to the person and their issue so that you're not hijacking it.
Sometimes the best thing you can do is just listen. Mm-hmm. And that's all they need.
Yeah, not try and fix it too quickly.
Yeah.
Show genuinely that you do care.
Yeah.
And listen, as somebody I've been touching, you want to know, they want to know that you care for them, you love them. And I think regardless of what the situation is, whether it's sin or suffering, you do want to leave them clear that God loves them as well in whatever situation that they're in and can meet them in it.
Thank you.
So I think if you talk to someone and they share something difficult in your life, I think it's important to have in the back of your mind that it's not, they don't expect of you, first of all, to provide solutions or fix your problem, but what they need most is to be heard first and be understood. And because then you can just relax, you don't need to come up with things how to do this. You just need to be certain you understand it. And then often you have made sure you understand it, maybe that person you talk to can suddenly come up with all the solutions him or herself, but it's the just understanding part that is most important.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. Listening, not necessarily leaping in with the quick fix. Anything else people came up with?
I think we need to recognize there are some things which are outside our personal experience, and therefore all we can do is say to the person, I'm prepared to listen and to pray.
I think also it's worth keeping in the back of our minds that we have nothing to offer of any value, really. We do have things to offer of value, but compared to what really valuable. There's nothing that we have to, nothing we have to offer other than God's word, and bring it to the Lord's attention in a particular way. And so therefore, having in mind not a twee verse that means nothing, but just if there's something in scripture that we know would be helpful, say suffering, the great one is Job, but Job is great because he suffered and his reliance on the Lord brought him no comfort whatsoever. And that's really helpful sometimes, because that ability, quick fix thing, you can say, yeah, keep going. I know that this isn't going to bring you any comfort, but keep going just like Job did. And pray with him. That way we're not trying to be the saviour.
Thank you. That's brilliant input. If you turn over the page, we're going to go through six practical tips, some of which we've already touched on now, show also some scriptural basis for these, and then I'll give you some more time to practice these things, also to talk about whether you think we've missed any. I think it's worth saying that these sessions are not sort of authoritative. You know, this is pointers, tips from the Bible. If some of these things you feel fine really don't work, please come and talk to me. If you feel like there are other things to add to the list, that's also fine. But we're trying to show how from scripture these things are helpful pointers on how to interact with each other. So, number one, be personal. This is a big point in the book that we're using as part of this series. And it almost sounds too obvious, you know, be personal. Well, how could you care for people if you weren't personal? But I think it's worth remembering Jesus is highly personal, totally personal. Yes, he dealt with big crowds, but he also then spoke to his disciples, to smaller groups, and then one-on-one with many people. Examples like Peter, Zacchaeus, you know, I must eat at your house today. The woman at the well, you know, engaging in deep conversation, wanting to win every person over for them, for him. And this presupposes a personal relationship with one person. And I wonder if we view church in the same way, you know, particularly in a large church, as our church is getting bigger and bigger, do we just look across the crowd and think that's just lots of people, or do we think each person has their own needs, fears, suffering, how can we help them individually? And if we look at John 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You can't really love one another unless you know one another, so each person. So just a bit of a challenge, do we view people at church as real people with each with individual needs, and how can we love them, and do you care for them? I'll give you a little example on this. I was a political counsellor for 4 years, and then I gave it up about a year ago, partly because I didn't care enough about people's problems. That might sound a bit silly, but there were many big debates we would have around like the town hall or building projects or whatever it was. I was very interested in those because it was kind of affecting groups of people. But when a resident would say, oh, there's a tree hanging over my garden and my tomatoes aren't growing, I would kind of roll my eyes and I just didn't care enough. Now, politics is one thing, so I was able to step away from it. Probably not, that wasn't for me, that role. But in the church family, we don't have that choice. We are all given the duty to care for one another. So when someone shares something with us, do we actually care? I wonder, with your point earlier, Carl, you know, this session, this series is called Caring for One Another, do we actually care? It's a bit of a challenge. It's worth thinking about when people around us share their lives with us. Number two, put other people's needs first, just like Jesus did. So, I think it's worth looking up in your Bibles, please. Philippians 2, that's on page 980. Let me read verses 1 to 8 and listen out for Jesus' example and how we can emulate it. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it goes on to Jesus' glory. Interesting, isn't it, how Jesus himself didn't put his needs first, even though he had the right to, in terms of his status. he actually put his other people's needs first, willing to die for them. And Paul tells us we should do the same, copying Jesus by doing nothing out of selfish ambition, counting others more significant than yourself, not looking to our own interests, but the interests of others also. I wonder practically how we can do this. So we can be proactive, we can take time out to see people. I think in speech, it's worth thinking, am I driving my own agenda? We touched a bit on this in the feedback already earlier. But knowing when and what to say, when not to say anything, and what to say, how can I really put the other person's needs first in any given scenario? And it may be that, as was mentioned, leaping in with a long story about how I had the same thing might not be very, that might be putting my own needs first, turning it all around about me. Yes, maybe empathizing by sharing something might be very helpful, but trying to quickly bring it back to the other person. I think also we have helpful pointers, don't we, in Scripture, Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. I find that challenging. When someone comes to me weeping, and I'm feeling a rejoicing, mentality, I find it very hard to think, well, I need to shift gears here, get in line with how they're feeling. And it's worth asking ourselves about our motivations. Why am I making a beeline for that person? Is it all for me or for them? How can I help someone else? So putting other people's needs first actually is very costly. It's Jesus' model. It's one we can copy as well. Thirdly, be there. Now this again is super obvious, but it's quite hard to care for other people if you're not around them. So we see a very clear pointer in Hebrews 10:25. Keep meeting, not giving up meeting together, as is the habit of some, but keep encouraging each other, and even more as the day approaches. So this is not being legalistic, it's just saying it's almost a prerequisite. It's very hard to care for and love other people if you're not around them. That most definitely means church on a Sunday, midweek if you can, meeting up with people in many different ways, as much as possible, really, to try and help and care for other people. And then let's cover the last three, and then we'll go to discussion. We covered this already in the feedback, but point people to Jesus in the Bible. Good point made by Alan. Really, the best thing we can do by far is to help someone keep going with Jesus. You may have some amazing life experiences, some brilliant coaching that really will help, but by far the most useful thing from an eternal perspective is just encourage someone to keep trusting Jesus, whatever they're going through. And that we get that from Ephesians 4 again. Having just explained that we do the work of ministry to each other, Paul gives us a really clear point on how to do that, rather speaking the truth in love. That doesn't mean saying true things, like it's a nice day today, even though that is true. The truth means truth about God and about Jesus. So the most helpful thing we can do is to point each other to Jesus. And here I would just say, remember number two on the sheet, putting other people's needs first and being wise in speech, because you can leap in and speak truth without forgetting the in love bit, so empathy, understanding where someone's at. I think down the years, I sometimes find it hard if I'm going through something difficult and someone just throws the Bible answer at me. Oh, well, it's fine because God is in control of everything and you'll be fine. That's not how I feel right now. So helpful pointers from Job or from the Psalms, sometimes despair is an okay feeling to have, and calling out to God, asking why. So thinking about, yes, I want to speak Bible truth, how can I connect this to Scripture? But also I want to do it in a loving, empathetic way. And then the final two, fifth one, offer to help. I wonder if, again, this is where we can sometimes be quite weak. So we do the first four, five, and four really well, really kind with my words, I'll be there for long, but actually am I going to practically do something about it? So let's try and have our actions in line with our behaviour. I think you can see that a lot in the New Testament church, radically living in a really different way to the world around it. It may be that you yourself cannot help, either practically or it's not appropriate for you to. Maybe then ask someone else, your fellowship leader, elders, whoever it is there some way we can help this person? They just share that they're really struggling. It might be financially, it might be with their children, whatever it is, can we help them? And again, an interesting story on this one. When we lived in London, we moved house a couple of times, and both times we asked Christians from church to help us with the house move. We bribed them with ice creams and the like. But it was amazing. Both times, I think 10 people helped us with the house move, and quite a few of our friends at work couldn't believe it. Why would 10 of your friends all give up half a day to help with the house move? So almost like practical help as a sort of evangelistic tool is an amazing witness to the world around us. So offer to help if you can. If you can't, raise it with someone else. And then finally, and we've touched on this in previous weeks as well, pray for someone, offer to pray for them. You see that in the New Testament again. Paul prays without ceasing. He starts every letter by banging on about how much he's praying for these people. If you bumped into Paul at coffee time, he'd have said, oh, I've been praying for you this week. How did that thing go, that exam? How are your struggles doing? How these relationships you're talking about? Is that our attitude as well? I know I can make a lot of progress in that area. So offer to pray for someone either there and then, or during the week, and then follow up with them. So six practical tips. So maybe in your groups now, discuss these. Anything that has struck you? Do you find any of these particularly easy or difficult? And the challenging, would you add anything to the list? And then we'll maybe feedback in a couple of minutes' time. Allow me to just cut in there to say, please move seamlessly onto the last bit of this morning. So you've got 10 minutes left before kind of coffee starts. But feel free to just move on to this. The final bit is kind of practice. I think one of the nice things about these sessions is every week people happen to sit next to different people. So give it a try. So ask how the other person's doing. Maybe use how are you, or think of something a bit more creative. And actually listen to the answer. You're listening out for heart matters, affections, as well as circumstances, big influences in their lives. You're weeping with those who weep, you're rejoicing with those who rejoice. You're listening humbly because you don't have all the answers. Consider how you can connect it to God's truth in the Bible. Connect it to God's truth to their life. Offer to help if you can, and offer to pray. So trying to put into practice the things we're learning here. Go for it in your groups. We'll leave it there. So now for officially from the program, so 5-10 minutes, and then go and collect your children and caffeinated goods. Why don't I pray for us as we do that, just before we do it. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Help us, Lord, to be those who truly love one another, care for each other. Thank you that you have designed the church family as a place for us to receive love and care from you and from one another. Help us, Lord, as we put these things into practice. And I pray, Lord, most importantly, that it would help us to trust Jesus and to keep walking with him.